I'd like to invite you to turn to our New Testament text for today, James chapter 4, near the end of our New Testament. James 4, verses 1 through 8. And in these words, I invite you to listen and hear the word of the Lord. James 4, 1 through 8. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your own pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is for nothing that the Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that He has made to dwell in each of us. But He gives us all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded ones. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourself before the Lord, and God will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the ancient Genesis stories that we've been talking about, our species was created in the image of God to reflect God's character faithfully in the world. Sometimes we do that, and most of the time we don't. We are supposed to reflect God's character not just for ourselves so that we can be confident, but so that the world can look at us and see an example of God's goodness. Sometimes I confess that it is through the amazing amount of forgiveness that God has granted me that I show His favor. It's not because I'm good, it's because God is good. And I think if you'll think about it and consider it carefully, you may find the same is true for you. Paul the Apostle was one who said, I cannot keep from sinning, therefore the grace of God abounds. And we celebrate that gift. In today's stories, as we ponder the gift of creation, the gift of recreation in Christ, and the gift of God's grace described for us by James, this writer in the New Testament, James the disciple, as we ponder and try to blend together all of these stories, let us just know and be confident that God has forgiven us, but that God does not stop us from sinning. God has created us with a free will from the very beginning. That's why things are in such a mess. Because God could easily have created beings that would have had no choice but to follow God and to do good in the world. And what kind of a world would that be? And if that were the way things are, if that was the way things are, then we would be God, because we would be all good and not able to sin. But God didn't make us that way. God made us with the ability to choose. And in a way, that's a mark of divinity in us, because we are given that ability to choose, and yet we so often wrongly choose that that God's grace gets to show in our lives. In that Genesis story, though, so long ago, the one that we've been talking about, the first murderer started building cities. The descendants of Cain, they were. And he was that first murderer. And those cities also reflected the violence and the sin of his life. The situation got so unbearable in that earliest world that God finally decided that there was no choice but to just wipe it out and start over. How about that? That must have been a bad day for God to recognize that what God had created had become so vulnerable and so broken that the only way out of it was to destroy it. It didn't take but a few generations for that to happen. And really, as we've talked, and as you know, the reason that it happened is because God gave human beings the freedom to choose. God could have made human beings with no other choice but to love and serve God. And yet that's not what God chose to do. God chose to create thinking, living beings, beings that could choose to follow God or not. You know, if we had no other choice but to follow God, then what fun would that be for God? What honor would that be if it didn't really mean anything? And if we didn't have another choice, then it wouldn't mean anything for us to follow God. But this earliest generation of people got so corrupt that God decided the whole thing had to just be wiped clean and started over. And so we have the flood. It's kind of sad to think about God's creation and realize that was the outcome. And then to recognize that God provided a new way through water. There's a gift of symbolism there. That the human creatures that were chosen to be saved were saved through water, through being on the ark. And you will know if you've read the story that it wasn't long after that time when those people got off the ark that things got bad again. And this has been a cycle throughout the generations. And I'll imagine that many, if not all of you, have seen such a cycle even in your own families. We are people of light and darkness. We're people of love, and we are people of power and frustration. To properly understand all of this and put it in context, we need to understand that human beings are broken and that God has created a way for us to be made filled with grace in Christ. It's a step in the right direction, but it's not complete, and it's not finished, and it's not going to be until the kingdom of heaven comes and Christ reigns in final victory and we sit at His feet. We see the patterns of this brokenness and healing all through the Scriptures and in our own lives. We see the pattern in creation, in the garden, and in the Tower of Babel. And we see the stories that are lived out in the masses of people. People who are enslaved, if not by others, then at least by their own passions and their own actions. We find ways to make a mess. As we progress through the story, understanding that these themes intersect time and time again throughout the Bible. God's healing and human brokenness. And then God's healing and grace again. Ultimately, the story told in the birth and life and gift of Jesus Christ. The ultimate healing. And that has created an opportunity to fix things. But not the mandate. Because we still have the choice. And we still make messes of our lives. Being Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you're forgiven. and that you have hope in Christ. But it does also make us missionaries to share that hope and to spread it and to live in it and to encourage others to make the same choice. The whole process takes a giant leap forward in the story of Jesus. He comes proclaiming the message of God's kingdom, the grace of God. And he shows that in God's way of arranging things, that the last are first and that the first are the last. The leaders serve, and the humble, not the arrogant ones, but the humble inherit the earth. Some of the people, even in Jesus' day, thought that sounded upside down. In word and in deed, in parable and in miracle, Jesus shows that God is at work in human history to heal what is broken. On the personal level of individual lives and on the societal level of governments and economies. And God proclaims that He is not an avenger who sweeps away the innocent with the guilty, but that God is rather forgiving, merciful, a gracious parent who loves all creation with a perfect and holy and compassionate love. The God who hears our prayers, our songs, our hearts beating. No wonder Jesus told people they had to repent, which means to turn again. It can be understood to mean rethink everything. Jesus was a brilliant storyteller, but one of the best things he said is you've got to turn around and head toward God and not run away from God. But if we aren't careful, we get complacent. To be alive is to join God in caring about the oppressed, the needy and the powerless, the victims, those who are vulnerable. To be alive is to believe that injustice is not sustainable and that to share God's desire for a better world is the way of peace and hope. To be alive is to look at our world and say, God is better than that. And to know that we can be better than that too. The world needs to hear this good news. Let us share it. Let us spread it. Let us send it on wings of hope and build relationships with people, whether it's on the square downtown on Saturday afternoon or in the classroom on Monday morning. Let us be agents of grace and peace and hope and life in the world. Let us be agents of forgiving grace and good news. Let us proclaim it. Let us figure out what stories we can share that illustrate it. You come up with your own. And whether you're an adult or a child, let us stand up for those who are hurting. Let us stand up with good news for those who have been bullied, for those who have been abused or hurt, or even just hurt by conversations about hurting. We all have to say, God is better than that. And we too are better than that. We look for ways where we can make a difference in the world. Let us make this our job, our life, and let's make it our prayer. Oh God, we desire to create a better world and to spread the goodness of your grace instead of terrorizing others. Help us to show your face and replace our desires with your desires to make the world better, to draw people closer together and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If today is the day for you to come closer to Christ, or to chart a new course in your life, in career, or in family, or in relationship,